What's good, y'all? Welcome back. And I guess maybe it's not welcome back because this is a new season, but fuck it. Welcome back to We Talking About Games. This is season two, episode one. Started a new season, and season one wasn't very long. It was only five or six episodes, if I'm remembering correctly. But I'm really, really excited to sort of be back at this end. Give this another go, give this another shot, give this another attempt. I kind of hate looking at it that way because I never really gave up on it. I just wasn't enjoying the way I was doing it before. But we're going to get into that. Thank you for listening, whoever's listening right now, whoever's watching on YouTube or wherever you may be watching this. I think it should only be on YouTube. But anyways, let's get to the episode. Welcome back section. Just want to get through a couple of things. Talking about the show and how I'm restructuring my approach to We Talking About Games as a brand in totality. How I want to go about diving into information and why I'm kind of reapproaching the show in a new way. So to begin, I'm reformatting the way I make content and approach content and talking about games. I hate that. The pun is always going to be hilarious around that. But what I didn't like about the first attempt at We Talking About Games was, in my head, it sounded like a great idea to just get on and talk about games by myself. Which, don't get me wrong, I could do it. Like, last night I was talking to myself in like preparation for this episode. I really could have just pressed record last night. It would have been a good episode. But anyways, I didn't really enjoy that. And although I am doing this episode by myself right now, I hope that the episodes by myself are far and few between. I also have some ideas on how to add a little, it's not dynamics, a little dynism. There's a word, man. I'm gonna find that word. I've been trying to think of it all day, but I'm trying to add some elements to sort of liven up what a solo show can look like, because I just wasn't having fun. The podcast is called We Talking About Games, and it just felt like I was talking about games, and maybe we would talk about games after the fact in the comments and so on and so forth. But for me, the podcast is We Talking About Games, and so I'm, for the most part, unless something important comes up or I just have a hard time getting a guest on and it's been a while since I've done an episode, I may do an episode by myself. But ultimately, I want to keep the podcast itself to when I can have guests on. Whether that's another podcast host, whether that's a friend, whether that's a guest from the gaming industry, whomever would be willing to come on and talk about games. So that's what the YouTube and the videos and the podcast platforms are going to be geared toward. And for just maybe my general thoughts, maybe I do want to give thoughts on something. And we're waiting a while for the next episode with a guest. That's where like short form content is going to come into play. And the idea originally was always that I would chop up the podcast and make it into short form video and stuff. But I think the approach I want to take now is that, say I do a podcast every Thursday, if I'm lucky enough to get a guest every Thursday or something like that. If there's something on Monday that I want to talk about, I'm just going to make a TikTok about it. I'm just going to make a reel about it. I'm just going to make a YouTube short about it. I'm not going to wait until the podcast. I'll talk about it in the podcast episode, but I think when it comes to maybe getting my own thoughts out of my head in the moment, I'm just going to do that in short form. And just off of some content I've made on my own personal page, and if you follow my personal page, you may already see that. I'm enjoying doing that. Because the commitment isn't sitting down here for an hour to 2 hours talking about video games by myself. Making a 1 minute to 2 minute, maybe even 3 minute long video about a topic and throwing that on the interwebs and getting into discourse with people in the comments and so on and so forth, that is the kind of stuff that I can get into. And so be on the lookout for a lot of short form content from me in relation to keeping up with what's a buzz in the gaming industry, and then my podcast episodes will be more reserved for when I can bring on a guest, whether the topic is that guest themselves or if the topic is various things that are happening around the industry and we're talking about it. The podcast is going to be a shared space. It is no longer in my head something that was a lot of fun for me to do by myself. As much as I can sit here and talk about myself, I don't think it was enjoyable for me to do it. And if it wasn't enjoyable for me to do it, I can't imagine that anybody else was having that great a time listening to it. That's just how I view it. And so we'll see how that goes. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. For real, I'm looking forward to taking another stab at this. And you may be wondering why it's taken me so long to get back to doing the podcast. And you may notice if you watched the podcast last year when I originally started it, my background is different. I used to have a shelf with video games over here. My keyboard was out. The keyboard is still out. It's just covered right there. But the keyboard was out, and this was my studio. This is no longer my studio. This is my daughter's nursery. A lot has changed since the last podcast episode. I have a child now. This is no longer my studio. It's her nursery. And time is just different. And that's also another reason why it's taken me so long to get back to the thing. Because just establishing new routines. I mean, the baby's routine, if you're a parent, you know, like those first 6 months, every week was just different. It was just different. You couldn't really plan for anything, I felt like. And also just the complicated nature of this no longer being just my room or like just a room that I can hunker down in and do stuff in. And so when it came to trying to schedule times to record, like I would have to structure that around my baby and her naps, and which last like an hour or two. So not a lot of wiggle room there, not a lot of leeway to plan and develop a routine and structure. And so luckily we got the sleep routine a little down. She'll fall asleep at a certain time, and she'll be good throughout the rest of the night. Knock on wood. Hopefully it stays that way. And in the foreseeable future, in the near future, some things are going to change. And I have some ideas for the video format of the podcast and how that'll look and how that enhances the dynamics of the show. I'm telling you, I'm going to figure out what the freaking variation of the word dynamic is that I'm looking for in my head. So this, what you're seeing now, is not the way that I'm going to record the podcast in the near future. To be honest with you, this might be the first and last episode that is like this. Depending on when my next guest is on and the timeliness of me finishing some of the assets to bring that stuff to life. Because I don't want to keep this person waiting, but I also want to do it the right way. We're going to find a nice balance. We're going to see what we do. But I have my fair share of ideas. I'm really excited to get into them, and I'm really excited to share them with you guys once that all comes to fruition. I think something I talk about a lot is like, I have like a history in like marketing and communications, and I could market the fuck out of something. Let me tell you, I could market the shit out of something. But when it comes to honing in on the finer details and the consistency thereafter and so on and so forth, that's where things get tricky for me. I can announce some shit. Let me tell you, I can announce something. If you remember how I announced We Talking About Games last year, I thought that was fun. I thought that was interesting. I thought that was unique. It was a good approach. It was a great play on the name and so on and so forth. But then the product itself was not something that I was happy with. And so anyway, I don't want to get into the weeds of that, but welcome back. We Talking About Games. Season 2 is definitely going to be longer than season 1. I can assure you of that. Especially considering how many people actually reached out to me interested to come on the show and talk about games. I think I already have more people ready to record episodes with me than I do episodes from the first season of We Talking About Games. So this season is definitely going to be longer and it's going to be more interesting. And I can't wait to talk about games with you guys over the next, who knows how long, to be honest with you. Hopefully forever. Hopefully till the end of time. I don't want to stop talking about games. I love talking about games. But anyways, talking about games, let's talk about what I'm currently playing. Before we dive into the one topic of the show, this is going to be a short episode. We're only going to dive into one topic, keep it short and sweet, but it's something I've been wanting to talk about for a few weeks. So what am I playing? I'm you already know. As much as I hate to say it out loud, I am playing Pokemon Legends EA. And I'm actually having a fun time. I'm going to save my thoughts on this game until the next episode, because my next guest and I are going to get into the weeds of that. Then we can have a really good conversation around it. The only things I have to say about Pokemon Legends EA is that it is a lot of fun. The battle system is a lot of fun. I think collecting Pokemon, which is pretty much the point of any of these games, is fun. And I'm not too happy with being stuck in one city. The music is absolutely just bombastic. It's fucking incredible. I'm not going to hold you. And I've come to the conclusion that I'm just done asking for better Pokemon games. I'm going to leave it there. That's a conversation for the next episode. But I'm going to just leave it there. I'm done asking for or expecting better Pokemon games. I think we just got to accept Pokemon for what it is and have fun with whatever it is, you know? So yeah, cool. Pokemon Legends EA, playing a lot of Battlefield. Battlefield has actually taken up my October like crazy. I would be playing right now with my boys if I wasn't here recording this right now. So Battlefield 6 has been a fucking blast, man. I'm a Battlefield over a Call of Duty guy, and so for us to finally have a really good Battlefield, especially a Battlefield that has made Call of Duty people even shift over and look at it like, yo, this is crazy. Like, all my boys who I'm currently playing with are Call of Duty people. And they're playing Battlefield 6, and they're like, yeah, Warzone's dead. Like, we played that Battle Royale last night, and they're like, yeah, Warzone's dead. Not playing Warzone anytime soon. And just Call of Duty in general. Like, they're like, damn, not sure what Call of Duty gonna do. It hits different when you're in a tank and you blow the wall off of a building and you're just like, damn, this is really all-out war. And it's just a different experience. And I'm glad a lot of people are having fun with it. I'm having a blast with it. I've already put in like 30 hours on Battlefield 6, so fuck, I'm having a good time. I'm playing a little bit of Ghost of Yotei. I got that earlier this month, even though I told myself I wouldn't. And I'll get into that when I talk about the next topic of why I even bought it. But playing Ghost of Yotei, having a really good time with it. I'm only like 6 hours in. I told myself I wasn't going to buy it considering all the games that were coming out in October that I wanted to play more. But I bought it anyways because such is life. And I put in about 6 hours and I've enjoyed all six of those hours. Like, it is like Ghost of Tsushima, just better. And I know that there's still so many layers to peel off that onion. And so I'm excited for when I can put Pokemon to the side and I can put some other games to the side and really hone in on Ghost of Yotei. And last but not least, I've actually been absolutely hooked over the past couple of days picking back up Xenoblade Chronicles, the definitive edition. So Xenoblade Chronicles 1, for those who may be wondering. Not everybody talks about this game, but I will say that people who have played this game and are fans of this game, they fucking love this game. I don't know anybody who is like lukewarm on it. Like, it's either not your cup of tea or it's one of the greatest games ever made. Like, maybe not this specific game, but just like one of the greatest franchises. Like, it's like, yo, Xenoblade Chronicles? Brother, this is one of the nothing but good things. And I gotta say, I'm now like 10 hours in. I picked it back up. I had like put in 2 hours when I first got the game. And I was like, all right, cool. This is great. This is fun. I like it. When I have time, I'll get back to it. And I was just kind of feeling a little fatigue, a little Pokemon fatigue. Being, again, probably because I'm in the same city running around and everything looks the same and everything kind of feels the same. But whatever. Got a little Pokemon fatigue. And I was just looking at my list of games on my Switch 2. And I was like, damn, you know, one of my boys, Gabe, shout out to Gabe, he was asking me about Xenoblade Chronicles X because he was looking at my profile history on my Switch and he saw that I had like 2 hours in the game and he was like, oh, like, you know, how is this? And I was like, I don't know. I only put in 2 hours because when I got it, I just wanted to try it out a little bit. And I was like, but I hear nothing but good things. And he was looking for an RPG and I was like, listen, like, watch a few videos, but everything I've ever heard from people is that especially X is a really good game. And since it's not tied to the rest of them, you can just pick up X and play. And he kind of inspired me to go back and dig Xenoblade Chronicles out of my backlog, and I have not stopped playing since I've done it. Like, I think I've played that for, if we're excluding Battlefield, 8 of my last 8 gameplay hours have been in Xenoblade Chronicles. I'm having a fucking blast with that game. And yeah, if you haven't played it and you're looking for an RPG, maybe the combat's not your cup of tea. I think that's where a lot of people get off the boat, where like it's kind of action, but it's kind of turn-based. Like it's like this weird auto battling system, but I actually like it. And I actually think that there are layers of strategy within it, because I've been getting my ass kicked in some fights, especially when you get jumped by a bunch of enemies. But man, I'm having a great time. And last point on Xenoblade Chronicles. Something I hear from everybody is like, yo, the game is beautiful. The world is beautiful. You'll be surprised that this thing even runs on a Switch. And wow, dog, I am surprised that this thing can run on a Switch. And it is absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. I've been capturing video on my Switch while I'm playing. Like I caught one from, like, that was transitioning from dusk to night. That shit was gorgeous. Insane. Absolutely insane. Such a good game. And I just feel like if you're into that kind of stuff, that is a must cop for a Switch. Like that is a must own franchise for the Switch. Hard to find, and they never go on sale. I will say that. But I guess that speaks to how beloved that series is and how good it is that it doesn't have to go on sale, and it is always sold out. But yeah, that caps off what I'm playing. And just any final updates before we dive into the one topic? Just a YouTube update, and that something I realized too when I first started the podcast last year was that having all of my interests and hobbies on my personal YouTube page or even my personal social media page was not going to work, not in the long term. And so I went ahead and I made a social media account and a YouTube account just for We Talking About Games. So if you look for and search We Talking About Games on Instagram, TikTok, I think I made a Twitter. I think I made a Twitter. Yeah, I did make a Twitter. Blue Sky, and my neighbor already said it, but YouTube. So go subscribe to that YouTube page, because that's where the podcast is going to live exclusively now, and all the content surrounding games and things that come from We Talk About Games. And one last YouTube update is I recorded an episode last year. It was supposed to be the sixth or seventh episode. I think it was supposed to be the seventh because it was Final Fantasy VII. So it was the seventh episode, and I had done my first video game review, like recorded video game review, and I did it of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And that was around the time that I started feeling some type of way about doing the podcast alone, and I just wasn't enjoying the process. And I actually never released that podcast episode because it required a little editing, and I just never did the editing. I'm going to edit that episode, and I'm going to upload it. Not as part of season two, but just kind of like the last episode of season one. And also, it was a review that I actually really liked. And I thought I did a pretty good job, and I kind of want to share it. I kind of want to put it out into the world. And it's like a review of one of my favorite games of recent years. So yeah, I'm gonna get that out there. So be on the lookout for that too. Even though I'm not sure who needs a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth review right now, but maybe somebody does. It's not on the Switch yet. It's not on the Xbox yet. Maybe somebody's gonna need that review. I don't know, but it'll be there. And that shit came from my heart. That shit came from my heart. All right. But cool. Let's move on to the topic of the show, and it is none other than motherfucking Xbox, man. I have so much to say on this, and I'm gonna try to keep it concise and clean because I feel like I could go off the ramp with this one. But I gotta say, I wrote here in my doc, I would say Xbox has shot itself in the foot again, but it has no feet left to shoot. And that's kind of where I'm currently at with Xbox. It's just like some of the things that they're doing are awesome, and we'll get into that. But it's just consistently overshadowed by all of the negative press that they garner for themselves based on, on decisions that some may call stupid, some may call unnecessary, some may call necessary. But it is undeniable, it's irrefutable that the decisions are just, you're just stepping on rakes. One good thing, step on a rake. Another good thing, step on a rake. And it's been a little frustrating to see, not because I'm like some huge Xbox guy. I play games wherever. I had Game Pass. I subscribe whenever I feel like it. And so like I'm kind of here or there with it. But yeah, let's dive into it piece by piece. I want to talk about the console price increase, the Game Pass price increase, the rumors of a next-gen console, which we just got a better idea of with some rumors. And then kind of the thing that's been bothering me about this Xbox conversation the most, which is the weird sentiment. And I guess it's not weird. We'll talk about it because it's nobody's fault that they feel this way. But I personally feel like it's a little bit weird, the sentiment some people have around the consumer-friendly things that Xbox is trying to do to compete and the angles in which people are like looking at that. When I feel like some of those points and arguments are just not necessary. But let's get into that, the console price increase. So cool, the Xbox Series X is expensive as fuck. I feel like I could leave it there. But just to go through it, like, all right, cool. When the Series X consoles released, you had the Series S, which was a 512 gig, and it was 250. Then you had Or 299, sorry. And then you had the Series X, which was 499. It was $200 more, and it was the premium version. This is the pricing structure of Xbox now. And this is the second price increase in the last 12 months. So like, damn, bro, like what the fuck? Series X 512, $379. That's $80 more. There's a 1 terabyte, it's 430. And I couldn't tell you what the price was before that because I wasn't really paying attention when that one came out. Series X digital. So this is not the CD version. This is a digital version of the X. Is 550, which is $50 more than the original with a hard drive cost when it released. And so like I would, anyways, Series X console. This is the one with the disc. This is the one that was $499 when it released. It's, oh, yo, oh, no, guys, I'm reading this chart wrong. That's the first price increase price that I was naming off. Holy shit, this is worse than I thought. So the previous price increase was $380 for the original Series S. It's now $400. That's $100 from its original release price. We're just going to go to the release consoles. The Series X, which released at $499, is now $649. That is $150 priced increased from the time of its launch, which it launched at $450. It launched at $499. And then you have the Series X 2 terabyte Galaxy Black Special Edition, which is $799. Previously $720. If I'm not mistaken, when it first came out, it was 650. If I'm not mistaken, I feel somewhere around that. It was either 600 or 650. But this is a massive jump. If you're comparing it to the original price of the Series X, it released with a 1 terabyte hard drive and it was $500. This 2 terabyte hard drive Xbox is $800, which is $300 more than the original 1 terabyte cost when it launched. So you're basically paying what, $300 to get a 2 terabyte, a 1 terabyte upgrade on your console? Holy fucking shit. That is so bad. I mean, the 2 terabyte is more expensive than a PS5 Pro. And yeah, this, even with tariffs considered, do the price increases have to be this bad? Like, where is Microsoft manufacturing this console that it is now costing them so much to manufacture it that this is what they're charging for it? Or are they increasing the price to what is the word I'm looking for? Ah, man, to make up for the money that they're losing in not selling as many consoles anymore. And since you're not selling as many consoles anymore, you're not making as much 30% cut as you used to, right? And so, like, you're trying to circumvent that lost cost, that lost profit by increasing the price of your hardware exponentially. So anybody who does decide to buy an Xbox, which, crazily enough, there have actually been people out there buying Xboxes right now, you're making more money off of them. And maybe that offsets that profit loss now. I don't have too much to say about this other than that's fucking crazy. And I just don't see anybody buying this generation's Xbox hardware through the rest of the generation. Why would you? Like, I don't get it. I mean, personally, I'll just share, and I'll bring it up in the Game Pass price increase, but when they increased the price of Game Pass, I went and traded my Xbox in. I was like, oh, I don't need this thing anymore. And we'll get into the details of why I feel that way when we get into it, but what? I paid $350 for my Xbox Series X. I remember Best Buy had a sale. It's so crazy. Console came out at $500. Seemingly, nobody wanted it because there weren't enough games and, you know, just the overall sentiment around Xbox. So then the Xbox Series X finds itself in, like, fire sale situations. I saw many a sales where you could get an Xbox Series X 1 terabyte for $400 many a times. I was fortunate enough to see it and have a couple extra dollars lying around. The Best Buy was giving away a brand new one. I think it was a deal of the day for $350. I will never forget that. I immediately bought it because I was like, oh, $350? This is awesome. Now I can play Game Pass in my living room. That's pretty much why I bought it. I traded in my Xbox 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago for $320 in store credit with GameStop. I lost $30 plus tax, I guess. So let's say I lost $70 total for the ability to have owned that Xbox for about 2 years and then traded in for Game Pass credit, which I needed anyways because I was about to buy a bunch of games. So it's not like, oh, you traded in for credit, though. I was going to go spend money at GameStop anyways. And so, I mean, shout out to the price increase, I guess. I mean, there was a certain point, though. Right after they increased the price the first time, you could go trade in a Series X at GameStop for $400 in store credit. I was very tempted at the time. I didn't do it. Looking back, maybe I should have. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Crazy price increases. I don't understand it. I really don't. But then that takes me into the next thing that I don't understand, which is the Game Pass price increase. Because on some level, I understand the price was never going to stay $20. But to just decide, you know what, boys? We're going to jump from $20 to $30, which puts you as, like, the most expensive multimedia subscription out there. Netflix isn't that expensive. Disney Plus, even with ESPN and Hulu, isn't that expensive. Nothing is that expensive. And so you've just taken yourself out of a realm of affordability in anybody's mind, not just by increasing the price from 20 to whatever. Even if you increase it to 20 or 25, you're more expensive than Netflix, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say that more people use Netflix, especially on an average hour basis, than people do Xbox Game Pass. And so to charge more than even they're charging seems insane to me. I'm not going to hold you. That's crazy to me. And the worst part about it, there's so many things wrong with this. So we have three tiers that they've decided to rename now. Essential, Premium, and Ultimate. I'm just going to focus on Ultimate. Basically, Essential and Premium. Essential is basically the new name for Core. And Premium is basically somewhere in the middle with the amount of games and releases, and also you're not getting day one games anymore. Right, and that costs $14.99. So they gave us this mid-tier $14.99, cheaper than the $20 it used to be, but you no longer get day one games, and you'll get Xbox published games within a year of launch, with a nice little asterisk that says not Call of Duty though. So, okay, wow, damn, no Call of Duty, basically a no-go for that one. And then Game Pass Ultimate goes from $20 to 30 motherfucking dollars. And I just feel like this is just so unjustified, because I think I could take a $5 price increase. Honestly, I think most people would have been able to take a $5 price increase, because I think it's the price increase that most people would have expected when a price increase eventually came down the road, right? Like, maybe you might get lucky and they'd be like, yo, we're just gonna increase it $3 or some shit like that, you know? But no, like $3 to $5 seem within the realm of, being reasonable. But to just jump $10, to just jump 50% is massive. And what you're bringing to the table and telling people, hey, you're getting more though. Okay, what's the more? The more is Ubisoft Plus classic games. Oh, just the classic games. Who asked for that? Nobody. You get Fortnite Crew coming in November. And now this is, although I don't think, I'm not arguing that this is some value for most people, but if you're somebody who plays Fortnite on Xbox and you actually subscribe to Fortnite Crew already, Game Pass Ultimate is an insane steal, because you are already paying like $15 a month for that. I think it's actually like $18 a month. It's actually kind of expensive a month. To just, oh no, sorry. It's like $12 or $13. That leaves you with $18 for Game Pass. That pretty much keeps Game Pass the price that it was, right? I feel like this price increase is just throwing in Fortnite Crew in there. So cool, if you're a Fortnite Crew person, Game Pass is a fucking steal. And this works for you. If you're not a Fortnite Crew person, what the fuck is this? Right? Like, you gotta be asking yourself like that. What the fuck is this? So cool that you get that. They added cloud services to all the levels now, which is awesome. That was actually part of the reason why I had Game Pass Ultimate and I didn't have PC Game Pass, is because I liked playing on the cloud whenever I felt like it. You know what I mean? And I wanted that flexibility. I got rid of my Xbox. Let's going back to the why I traded my Xbox story, is because once I saw that PC Game Pass has cloud and it only costs $16. That's it. I do not need my Xbox anymore. The only reason I have my Xbox was for the convenience of playing games in the living room, which I now do with my Steam Deck, streaming my PC to the living room. So I don't need the Xbox anymore. And PC Game Pass is cheaper than regular Game Pass. Why would I get regular Game Pass? There's just no benefit of it for me anymore. And it has cloud. And so boom, that's it. I have a space in Game Pass now with PC Game Pass. And cool. You get in-game benefits with Riot Games, I guess. If you're a Riot Games person, you play Valorant, you play League of Legends, you play TFT. Not sure what those things are going to look like, but I guess if you're in that realm, there's some value there for you. And instead of the unlimited reward structure that they had before, where people were pretty much paying for Game Pass with their reward points, Game Pass Ultimate is capped at $100, Premium is capped at $50, and Essential is capped at 25 measly fucking dollars that you can get back to help you pay for this expensive ass service. And man, this just feels so bad. This just feels so bad. It really sucks, because it made me think about like the old numbers, like when Game Pass was $15 a month. That shit was such a steal at $15 a month. I thought about it this way, and call me crazy. You know, a lot of hoopla that's made about Game Pass is people being like, yeah, but you don't even own your games. You know, you're paying all that money and you don't even own the game. Doing the math on a $15, right? I'll even do the math on $30. It's not as good, but the $15 math is actually kind of crazy when I think about it in my head. There was a point where you could have paid $15 to subscribe to Game Pass the month a game came out. Now, let's say you're the kind of person who buys a game, plays the game. Like you're just gonna beat the game. You're not like me who like hops around games, even if it's a new game you bought, you're gonna play it for 5 hours and then put it down. If you're the kind of person who plays games through and you beat them, you could pay $15 to get that game or get access to that game, play it, beat it. If you beat it, you're probably like most people, and you're not gonna touch it for a while. You know, you're not gonna go back to it for a while. You wanna wait until you miss it a little bit, until the time feels right to go back into your backlog and do another playthrough or something like that. In that time that you're waiting, that $60 or $70 game is gonna go on sale for likely like 50% off. There was a point in time where you could have accessed not just that one game, but all of Game Pass for $15. And then sometime in the next year or two or however long between the first playthrough and when you want to revisit the game, you could buy the game on sale. And let's say you bought it on sale for half price, which let's say it's $35. I'll give you the half price of 70. 35 plus 15 is 50. You would now have played the game at launch, like people who bought it outright at launch for $70. But then you bought it later after the fact for 35. And in total, you paid 50 and now you own the game, which was like a main pain point for a lot of people and why they didn't think Game Pass was a good service. But for me, I just felt like a lot of people were honestly looking at the math wrong. And so that was the math for 15. It was just such a steal at $15. Even if your point was that you wanted to own your games, the path to owning your games was there, and it was in reality kind of cheaper than just buying the game outright to begin with, especially if you're playing multiple games from Game Pass all throughout the year. Like the math just made ridiculous sense. It really did. And now at $30, that math isn't as sexy. Let's take Outer Worlds 2, for example. $70 game came out this month. Let's say you subscribe, you pay $30 to play it, and you beat it. You pay $30. In the next year or two or so, that game will have a 50% off sale. That game will be $35. You now are paying $65 instead of $70, and you now own the game, and you got to play it at launch, had access to a bunch of other games. Maybe you tested out Ninja Gaiden while you were in there. Maybe you played something else that you didn't get a chance to touch. I think there's a Keeper is the other game that launched this month too. Maybe you want to try that out a little bit. So you got a little bit of worth from that $30. And then somewhere down the line, you bought the game used or on sale digitally for about half the price, which a lot of games go on 50% sales. Most games go on even better sales than that. And so like there's even still the angle where Game Pass makes sense for somebody who even wants to own their game. And this idea and this framing that I'm taking right now kind of just takes me into the last part of this conversation I want to have, which is the overall weird sentiment I feel around the discourse of Xbox's like consumer-friendly approaches to being competitive in this generation. One of which is Game Pass, right? Like, no, you don't want to buy the games? Just subscribe and play the games. You know what I mean? Like, and you don't even have to subscribe for the whole year. Just subscribe this month, the month the game comes out, play it, beat it, come back when you want to play another game. On some level, when they did the subscription service, they had to be okay with that because they know that people do that. There's people who do that with Netflix, who do that with HBO. Oh, House of Dragons is coming back. I guess I gotta subscribe to HBO again for 2 months. And then after those 2 months, well, done with HBO. I'll be back when House of Dragons comes back around. That's kind of me. I'm kind of like that with HBO. I'm not really interested in having it. And when House of Dragons comes back, I'll subscribe. And when it's done, I will cancel my subscription. So cool. It's Game Pass. It's Xbox Play Anywhere. And just the weird sentiment I'm seeing around that, and discourse I'm seeing around that, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And throwing it back to something else, I'll just bring around cloud gaming as like another example of this weird sentiment. So cool. Oh wait, we didn't get into the rumors of the next console. Honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. I might have to leave that. I might have to leave that for another day because it's mostly rumors. So like we don't really even got to get into it. But seemingly Xbox is making another console. Some people don't believe them. Some people do. I'm in the camp that I believe them because I don't really have any reason to not believe them. Everybody keeps bringing up old hardware, like, oh, but that's what they said about the Surface. They got rid of the Zune. They got rid of whatever other product it is that I can't remember off the top of my head right now. None of those products were as successful as Xbox. Like, not even remotely. The Zune is like a fraction of how successful the current Xbox is, let alone like the entire brand's history of Xbox. The Surface was not nearly as successful as even the current Xbox is. The idea of using all of those as a reason why Xbox can't be trusted on continuing to do hardware is just not a good argument. You'll realize over the course of episodes, I mostly don't have problems with people's perspectives. I mostly have problems with people making bad arguments. And using the Zune and the Surface as examples of hardware that Microsoft left behind, even though they told you that they weren't going to leave it behind, those are just not good examples. They are not nearly a fraction of the success that any Xbox has been, even the Xbox One, which is so embarrassing to say. But the Zune sold like 3 million units. Like, what are we even talking about? Stop it. Stop it. Stop the bad arguments, please. Please. But let's talk about the last thing that I do want to talk about. And it's Xbox's approach this generation is, damn, we're going to have to be really consumer friendly to win people back, right? Like, while we work to make good games, we have to do something to circumvent this relationship we currently have with our consumers and give them value. From that came Game Pass, right? Like they said, yo, you know what? We got big money, we got deep pockets. We're going to make a service and we're going to give you all of our games day one on the service, which was an immense value, especially at what I was just saying, at $15, that shit was a steal, like a fucking steal. It was such a steal that you could just leave it subscribed and you didn't even have to think about it because there were enough games coming out, whether from Xbox or third party, that were there day one or even just there after the fact, like maybe some time after release, that you're just like, fuck, this is on here now. Like, I remember when they added Metaphor to Game Pass. I was like, oh, this is in fucking insane. And it wasn't even like a year after release. It came in a good time. And so yeah, so at $15, and I think at that point it was already 20, but at $15, the shit was a fucking steal. Oh my God, I have a fire truck going by and I can't even think about it. And that was the beginning of weird sentiment, in my personal opinion, weird sentiment around Game Pass. Because let me be clear, as a consumer of anything, do you know who I care about? I care about myself. I care about myself. I do not care about the company. I do not care about the service. I might like the company. Like, I like Apple. I like Sony. I like my PlayStation. You know what I mean? I like certain tech brands and stuff like that. I like them. I care about them. Oh my God, my thing is lagging. I think that was the fire truck. Anyways, I like certain brands, but it does not mean that I put the interest of those brands ahead of my own interests. And Game Pass was one of the early examples in this generation for Xbox where I saw that people were putting the interest of companies before their own interest. Because I felt like this was a great opportunity for gamers to ask for more from their preferred platform, regardless of what that platform is. It could be Nintendo, PlayStation, or PC. PC's giving a ton. I'm not really sure what they could go to PC to ask them for, especially because there's not a single arbiter of that platform. But like, I saw it as an opportunity for people to go to their preferred platforms and be like, yo, the competition is offering this really awesome thing as part of their service, and I don't necessarily want to leave you. So like, what are we going to do to increase the value of the money I'm giving you? Right? Because that's how business works. Really quickly, what you get as a consumer in any product, in any service, from any company, lies somewhere between what you want as a consumer, the ideal product, like everything you want, every feature you want, at the cost you want it at, and what the company is willing to do. Like, or wants to do even, because what ends up happening, the product you end up getting is what they're willing to do, right? So like somewhere between here and here, right? Somewhere between what you ideally want and what the company wants to give you is what you end up getting, somewhere in between that, right? And so color me fucking stupid for looking at people watching a competitor add value to their ecosystem and product, and watching a bunch of people, instead of looking at that and being like, yo, that's awesome, there's a lot of value in that, I wonder what that could look like on the system or ecosystem that I actually engage with, they were like, yo, but like, how does that work out? Like, are they making money off that? Like, how are they making money off that? Dog, you asking the wrong questions. That is not your job. Like, it's just not your concern. And on some level, again, I could understand the sentiment on some level in regard to like, well, I want to make sure that they're making money, because if they're not making money, they're not going to be around. Not your problem. Companies die every day. Let's just be abundantly clear. Companies die every day. And you know what you quickly learn after those companies die? The people who worked at those companies are going to go and work somewhere else. And they're going to go and do those amazing things somewhere else. Like, that's just a circle of life. Xbox could die. And those IPs are going to get bought up. And those studios are going to unfortunately get closed if that happens. And those people are going to go and work somewhere else. This is just the cycle of how things work. And so in a world where like what you end up getting as a consumer is directly correlated to what you ask for, what you demand, what you want, and to sit here and just watch people not ask for anything, not demand anything, and instead ask questions about, well, how are they making money? How is this good for this? And how is this good for that? My guy, that is not your job. That is truly not your concern. Your concern is, am I getting enough value out of the dollar that I'm putting forward? And if I am, cool. And if I'm not, what should I be asking for to get that value? And even if I am getting a good value for my money, what's wrong with trying to get even more value for my money? Like, so I have seen that level of discourse happen around Game Pass was really weird to me, because it's just like, this is a net benefit to a lot of people. Even if it's not a net benefit to you directly, to not be able to see the net benefit in it is weird to me. I mean, shit, one of the game of the years this year in Expedition 33 was on Game Pass. And it's not to say that game wouldn't exist without Game Pass, but they're a small studio. They're an indie studio. Who knows how much money they got from Game Pass? And who's to say what wouldn't be in that game, or what would have been missing from that game, or what would have been unpolished from that game had it not been on Game Pass? And so like this tug and pull of, oh, it's not good for this person, but it's good for that person. Again, we're getting caught up in shit that is not our fucking problem. This is not our problem. That is somebody else's problem who makes money to be worried about those problems. Your problem, your only concern as a consumer, please, for the love of all that is good, is to be concerned with what it is you want out of that product and asking for it vehemently. It's insane, dude. Shit is fucking bananas to me, man. It's like when fucking Google Fiber came out and they were giving people fucking 1 gigabit download speeds. And somebody like who was at fucking Spectrum, instead of looking at Spectrum and saying, yo, Spectrum, when are you going to get 1 gigabit internet? You know what I mean? Like, I'm actually paying you the same amount for 1 gigabit over there. I'm paying you for 1,200 megabytes. What are we doing? How's this getting better? Because if you don't fucking ask those questions, Spectrum has no reason to add 1 gigabit internet. If you're sitting there instead of saying that and you're like, man, how's Google affording that? You know, isn't the infrastructure for that really expensive? And so on and so forth. You asking all these questions, Spectrum's going to be like, yeah, you know what? I don't know how they're making money over there. And that infrastructure is really expensive. I'm not really sure that that's something that we should be doing. Oh, my God, son. It's insane. It really is. But cool. It started with that. And I've recently been seeing it with Xbox Play Anywhere. This one is really weird to me. So Xbox is trying to figure out a way, and this has a lot to do with their new console that's sort of like a console PC hybrid, and I'm sure they're trying to figure out this quirk of Xbox Play Anywhere, because that's how they make a smooth transition into being a PC instead of just solely being a console. You got to be able to move people's library over. I keep telling people, if you think that Xbox is just going to, without trying, kill your entire digital library by basically saying, yeah, well, there's not going to be an Xbox console anymore, and you're not going to be able to play these games on the new console, so the thousands or tens of thousands of dollars you've spent on our store are now just, you know, it's just up in the wind, it doesn't exist anymore, and it's gone. If you think that that is something that they are considering, you're crazy. That wouldn't just kill the Xbox brand. That would be a huge blow to Microsoft in general as a whole. And I'm just not sure that the risk associated with that is something that they would even consider allowing to happen. So cool. You got Xbox Play Anywhere. They're trying to do this thing where they're like, yo, you buy this game once and you can play it on your console. You can play it on PC, like installed on PC. You can play it on the cloud. And we got over 1,000 games on this service. And this is the thing that made me realize that Microsoft might have to blow up the brand. I think that we've gotten to a point with Xbox having made so many bad decisions and the trust that people once had in the brand is so, like, it's dissipated to a point where it's almost non-existent. Because I was watching a podcast the other day. Shout out to Defining Duke. It's an Xbox podcast. I like both the hosts on it, but I start. Oh shit! Almost dropped my camera. Sorry, audio listeners. Almost dropped my camera. And so I watched it for one of the podcast hosts. His name is Lord Cognito, and he's a very primarily Xbox guy. Games on Xbox, loves his Xbox, games a bit on PC, but is mostly primarily Xbox. And so, but he's somebody who has like PC handheld and stuff like that. So Xbox Play Anywhere is a service that he gets a lot of value out of. And I think it's important to note, you don't pay for Xbox Play Anywhere. Like the deal is you buy the game, you own it, you have dual entitlements, you own it on Xbox, you own it on PC, and you can access it on the cloud too. You have over 1,000 games on there. And he was talking about a recent trip he went to Japan and how he really wanted to play Final Fantasy Tactics on the trip. But Final Fantasy Tactics is not an Xbox Play Anywhere game. And he was expressing his frustrations around how there are these two other Square Enix games that are Xbox Play Anywhere games. And he said, and he used the word unacceptable, that it was unacceptable that Final Fantasy Tactics wasn't on Xbox Play Anywhere. especially considering that these other two games are. And so I had to take a step back when I heard that, because, and what I asked myself in the moment was, did I just hear somebody say that it is unacceptable that Xbox not have this particular game as a part of this service that gives you dual entitlements and access to your games virtually anywhere, right? This is an Xbox, that is an Xbox, everything's an Xbox, right? That virtually gives you access to this one purchase anywhere. Something that PlayStation does not do. Something that Nintendo does not do. And something that Xbox isn't even charging you extra for. Like, it's not like, oh, you need Game Pass to be able to do Xbox Play Anywhere. Like, no. That you don't. Xbox Game Pass games do function that way. So, like, if you have Game Pass, pretty much most of the games that are in there are Xbox Play Anywhere, and you'll have that functionality. But the feature alone of Xbox Play Anywhere is not exclusive to Game Pass, and it's just, you know, if you buy it, it applies. So none of the competitors do it, and they're not charging you additional fees for you to have that benefit, but it's unacceptable for them to not have a game on it, even though that same game, again, the competitors aren't doing it. So it's not like, what are we comparing it to say that it's unacceptable to not have it? And that is when I realized, oh shit, it doesn't matter what Xbox does anymore. It doesn't. Xbox dead ass told people, yo, you could buy your game one time and you could play it anywhere. And it goes back to the thing I was saying about Game Pass. You know what motherfuckers are saying? Yeah, but what publisher is going to want to do that? You know, like, how are they even making money off that? Who even has multiple consoles to do that with? And it's, again, man, people arguing against their own self-interest. In the name of what exactly? I'm not even sure. Is it console warring? I don't know. Because if I'm being frank, if PlayStation had come out and say, yo, we just made this feature, PlayStation Play Anywhere. You buy Ghost of Tsushima, you can play it wherever you want. You buy Ghost of Yotei, you can play it wherever you want. You buy God of War Ragnarok, you can play it wherever you want. You telling me if PlayStation did that, that motherfuckers on Twitter was going to be like, yeah, but like, how do the publishers feel about that? And, you know, like, who even has multiple devices to play all these games? Dog, PlayStation does some shit like that, and for lack of a better way of putting it, motherfuckers would get on their knees and choke themselves on those balls. Holy shit. Because this is like one of the most consumer-friendly things I've ever seen in the industry. Buy it once, play it anywhere. Especially as somebody like myself who has multiple platforms. And before we got into a more cross-play and cross-save world, I would have loved to just be able to play a game on whatever console I wanted to, because I had friends who had different consoles and we couldn't always play together. And I didn't want to buy the same $50 game all over again just to play with a few friends over here. And so, like, I'm somebody who gets a lot of benefit from Xbox Play Anywhere because I have multiple devices and I like handhelds and stuff like that. But this is like a net positive for the consumer. Again, man. What you ask for, what you demand, what you want, and what they want to give you, what you end up getting is somewhere between there. And when you ain't asking for it, you leave the pedestal teetering in their direction. And it's just such a weird approach to take, man. It really, really is. I don't get it. I'll be honest with you. I don't get it. Because I don't know how people looked at Xbox Play Anywhere. And again, didn't go to their preferred platform and was like, yo, so why aren't you letting me play my games anywhere, if you don't mind my asking? You know, like, why aren't you letting me play my games anywhere? I'm sorry, you buy Ghost of Tsushima on your PlayStation 5? You got to go buy Ghost of Tsushima again on your PC. And there are people who have done that. And I would love to hear an answer from those people specifically, because they're the kind of people who would gain a benefit from this. Wouldn't you rather not have had to buy Ghost of Tsushima again? It's just so weird to me. It's so weird. I do not get it. I have spent the better part of this generation watching people argue against their own self-interest just to not support something that Xbox is doing. And that has pretty much shown me that they might have to kill the brand. They might have to just blow it up and start all over again, rename it, rebrand it. I mean, they've already kind of rebranded it as turning into like Microsoft Gaming. It's not even Xbox anymore. But I'm just not sure what they would be able to do, because it's also, it's not even the games anymore. It can't possibly be the games. They put out so many fucking games this year, and all of them on Game Pass. My game of the year, Expedition 33, is on Game Pass. And so it's not the games. The games are there. Even though the new excuse for that is, well, the games are on PlayStation, so what does it matter? They are. But if you bought all of them full price, Game Pass was cheaper than that. Even at $30 a month, it's cheaper than that. And nobody's buying all the games, to be honest with you. So many different interests within all that, all those releases. But yeah, man, it's just weird, man. It's weird energy. And the last one that I have here, which is a light touch, which is cloud gaming. Something else that Xbox broached in this generation to a greater extent with, making that sort of easy access app on the phone. And they introduced cloud. And I remember the large sentiment around that release was, who the hell wants to play video games in the cloud? That's stupid. I don't want to play video games in the cloud. All that lag doesn't even look good. Doesn't run well, yada, yada. And the juxtaposition of that compared to when PlayStation added cloud to the PlayStation Portal, I never heard one bad thing about PlayStation's cloud on the Portal. And not that I heard anything bad about the service, but I didn't hear any negative sentiment around it. I didn't hear anybody say, oh, I don't want to play games on the cloud. Who wants to do that? I didn't hear any of that in relation to cloud being added to the Portal. What I did hear was people being like, yo, this just made my Portal better. I heard a lot of what seemed like first-time cloud users who were like, yo, this actually runs really well. Like, it almost feels like I'm playing it on my console. Like, no joke. And I'm not even home. And again, it's kind of why I go to like the whole like PlayStation Play Anywhere thing. You're not convincing me that if PlayStation had made that service and that benefit and that feature, that people would have responded to it as negatively or negatively at all, asking how this benefits anybody else other than themselves, the ones who are enjoying the benefit. It's just weird. And to have seen that shit for an entire generation, it's really just shown me that, yeah, Xbox is at fault wholeheartedly for where they currently are as a platform holder. It's the god awful communication. It's the price increases. It's the not keeping your word, right? And that kind of being a mixed thing. You know, I have my own feelings about them saying they were going to be exclusive and now they no longer are. I feel like that was a shakeup of who the real boss is now, which is Satya. But to have sat back for an entire generation, and I have no horse in the race, because like I prefer my PlayStation as far as consoles go, but I play where I want to play. And ever since I got my Steam Deck, I've pretty much become a predominantly PC player. Because again, I just like the ease of being able to play my PC, play on my Steam Deck, yada, yada. But to have sat back and watched from afar, Xbox try to be competitive. And we could all maybe say that it wasn't good enough or anything like that. But for the side that they're trying to appeal to just look at features and benefits and services to push gaming forward in one way or another, and just look at them and be like, but the companies is just so fucking weird to me, man. It is so weird to me. I'm never going to get it. I just don't think I'm ever going to get it. Because it's just weird energy to have. And it's just the wrong questions to be asking. And what it shows me is that regardless of how good anything Xbox puts out, the games will never be good enough. The console, the next console, will never be good enough. The rumors are that they're going to have consumer-friendly things. They're gonna let you buy games from whatever storefront you want. And instead of people being like, yo, that's fucking awesome, I wish my console did that, they're like, how are they going to make money? And how does that work? And why would anybody want this instead of a regular PC? And it's exhausting, man. It's exhausting. And I just want people to start arguing for their own benefit, man. Your own benefit, bro. Argue for yourself, man. Stop arguing on behalf of companies that don't need you to argue for them. They have lawyers for that, bro. They pay people six figures to figure out the problems that you're asking questions about on Twitter. It's just, these are non-factors in the conversation. It's so weird to me. And I hope it changes, because that mentality is holding us back. That mentality is holding gaming back. Because, and I'll leave my Xbox rant off on this. I think we can all agree that Xbox has made some piss poor decisions, in not just this generation, but in the generation before and beyond. Their communication has been god awful. God awful. But something I am certain of, because history is fact, they have never been wrong. They have never been wrong. Every major shift in gaming, especially on a software front, they have been right about. Built-in broadband on the console, because they saw where the internet was going. They did that. Xbox Live and everything that they built with that was them. We have party chat. We have achievements. We have a lot of these quality of life features that enhance the way we engage with the video games we buy because of Xbox. Hell, even one of the worst decisions they've ever made, which was to focus way too much on television with the Xbox One and to go and tell people that they weren't going to be able to play used games on the console. Are you fucking stupid? Right? Which led to that infamous PlayStation commercial of, this is how you share your games. Well, let me ask really quickly. 80% of purchases, 80% of video game purchases are digital now. How are you sharing those games? Because last I checked, you can't share them in the way that Shuhei Yoshida was doing in that commercial. And so, as much as they were way too early on the digital front, and their messaging was just god awful. Because of the TV stuff and the used game talk and all that stuff, they were right. They were right. They were like, yo, we're going digital. And everybody's like, well, chill, what the fuck are you doing? But they were right. At the end of the day, they were right. They were just way too early. The consumer sentiment wasn't in a place where they could accept that yet, right? You could say that about cloud. They were right about cloud. People were like, what the fuck? Who wants to play video games on the cloud? And then they go and make the cloud, and then PlayStation makes the cloud, and apparently all of their customers are enjoying it. They're loving it. They're so happy that we have cloud now. And so it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And yeah, I don't know, man. They can have god-awful communication, and they have god-awful timing. Two terrible things to get wrong, especially at the same time. But they have rarely, if ever, been wrong. They've been right about everything. And I'm not about to sit here and think that they're about to not be right about this. About to be right about where the next console should be going, the direction that the next console should be taking, because they've been right about it every single time. Like, every single time. And so, yeah, so I don't know, man. I hope, as somebody who really loves Sony and thinks that they have been god-awful since like the middle of the PS4 generation, I can't wait for Xbox to finally get their shit together, because I need them to, so that Sony can do better. Good God, my PS5 is just so whack. It's so whack. And it's not that the games are whack. I've played a lot of good games. But the console itself, it's just not special at all. There's nothing special about my PS5. There's nothing I can do on my PS5 that I can't do on another platform, except play the games that they haven't put on another platform yet. That's it. And that's fucking garbage. Like, actually fucking garbage. And so, I'm gonna leave it there. That's episode one. That was half an hour longer than I wanted it to be. I can't shut up. God damn it. This is why I'm doing the shorter form content. I can't be doing this by myself. I really can't. But yeah, y'all, I really, really appreciate everybody who stuck around, listened to the episode. I wonder what your thoughts are about the Xbox stuff. I've seen a lot of different sentiments. I will say, I've not really seen my sentiment out there, that this idea that people are just being weird around the acceptance of services and features that are undeniably pro-consumer, and just shoving that shit to the side in favor of protecting their company, their favorite company. It's so weird to me. I haven't seen that sentiment online, and that's kind of why this podcast exists, because I feel like a lot of the things I'd be thinking about, or the way I'd be thinking about them, I don't really see people talking about them in that way. And that's why We Talk About Games exists. And so I'll leave it there. I won't take any more of your time. I appreciate you watching. Follow, subscribe on YouTube, on podcast services. And follow me at Chuck the Mangu. And We Talk About Games at We Talk About Games on whatever platform you're on. And on that note, I hope you have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, weekday, weekend, and I'll see you later. Deuces.